Welcome back to the Challenge Free Agents Wrap-Up. We are here doing part two of our finale coverage. Last time we just covered the final. This time we'll do the reunion, the whole season, and touch on all your questions that we didn't get a chance to get to during our part one. So we'll get to all that. I am Brian Cohen. Here is my co-host, Allie. Allie, how are we doing?
I'm good. Feeling a little bittersweet. I'm excited to really get into it, but I'm sad that this season's come to an end.
Yeah, me too. So for all you don't know, we actually recorded part one of our podcast pretty much right after the finale aired. So we're kind of just going straight off our initial reactions. And, you know, I had like 102 fever, so I don't remember many things that I said. So just kind of looking back now, this is now, I think, 4 days later. What, do you have any changing feelings from the final?
I mean, I stand by how I felt. I mean, I think it sums it up with, like, we loved it, we hated it, we loved it, we hated it, but overall we loved it. There were definitely, I'm still thinking about parts of the challenge that could have been better for the finale. But overall, I mean, I kind of stand by it. I was really pleased. I'm definitely pleased by the two winners. And I think everyone made a pretty good showing.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, I think I should have been a lot harder on Zach. I mean, I like watched the episode again, and he was just so pathetically bad in every single stage. I just complained about everything, and it was really one of the worst final performances I think I've ever seen in my entire life.
Well, we'll definitely get into that later, because I loved watching Zach try to overcorrect by laughing hysterically at himself during his pathetic clips at the reunion.
Yes, he was very big on the self-deprecating, so we get that. So we didn't get a chance to talk about the reunion, so we can do that now. So the reunions for this show is a little different than Survivor, obviously. These are usually taped as opposed to Survivor being live, and the one time they did a live finale, Knight punched Frank. So that was never going to happen again. So then we're back to the tape version and edited down, hosted by the one and only Johnny Mosley. So what are your thoughts on Mosley as the, not just the host of the reunion, but sometimes he does like the after shows too?
I mean, do we need another Johnny, really?
The Challenge Robs versus Johns is picking up.
I think that Johnny Mosley is a cartoon character. I don't like the sound of his voice, and I feel like he doesn't let the people answer the questions. I mean, the fan, we'll get to it at the end, but the fan questions were pretty poor, but he didn't even let the people answer the question. He just kind of says, sure, gotcha, and moves on. He's a poor man's TJ Lennon.
Poor man, he's a homeless man's TJ Lennon. But so, even though this isn't a video show, but I'm doing this holding a marker, just as Johnny Mosley did throughout the entire reunion, even though I don't think he wrote one thing down the entire time. But I'm going to be holding a marker just like him, just to kind of get in the Mosley mindset. But yeah, he is so pathetically bad. I don't get why TJ can't host these things. Like, he would be so great hosting the reunion.
No, I don't know either. I mean, I think it goes back to we have a question about why TJ had so many voiceovers in the final. And I think part of it, we can get into that later. I think part of it has to do with the fact that, like, TJ's just not good off the cuff. And I think for a reunion host, you need to be a bit better on your feet. Not that Johnny Mosley is like a star, but I think that TJ probably tripped up a bit at the end of the finale, and I don't know that I don't think he cares enough necessarily about the drama to get into it with them, especially when you get his, like, save this for when
yeah,
I'm not here.
It's a fair point. Then why can't, you know, they have, they sometimes that Mark Long hosts these things, even Kenny Santucci hosted that, retrospective, that fan favorite thing. You know what, they're in the show, they've done this before, they know the stuff to ask. Mosley's a like Olympic skier or whatever he did, like from 1996 or something. What does he care about the challenge?
I would prefer that that the people from Girl Code would host it. Like MTV sometimes, I mean, one of the comedians from Girl Code hosted that like Battle of the Losers. Like I would prefer to see one of them host it. At least it would be funny. Snooki,
oh, no.
Bring Snooki.
I'd rather Mosley over Snooki. But I would honestly rather just them host it themselves. I would rather just them ask each other questions or even just Bananas host it because they would know what the stuff to ask. So I'd even rather that.
Well, they did kind of take a departure and take over when they decided to bring up Devin's story about getting stuck on the bus.
Yes, that was one of the best things to come out of reunion in years.
But let's go back a little bit. Just so we only get the top 12, the top six guys, and the top
It's
six
not
girls
even the
on
top six
stage.
because Leroy wasn't there, and Leroy finished ahead of Jordan, so he didn't get the call.
Wow, did I miss this? I checked with
Yeah,
the
so it wasn't even the
Wikipedia
top. It wasn't even the top 12. They
page.
just did
I
it
just.
based on who they wanted there.
That's what I get by cutting corners because I did a sixth place and a first place check. It all checked
Yeah,
out,
I
but
think
I
the
guess it
girls
didn't.
all checked that. I think the only thing was
Yeah.
Jordan over Leroy, which makes sense. You gotta have Jordan there.
Yeah, I'm not upset about that. Also, Jess, I could have easily been
Yeah,
clipped. I did not need to hear from
I don't
her
know why
at
she's
all.
chiming. We'll get to it, but I don't know why she's chiming in on the Jordan Bananas feud. What place she has in that dynamic? I've literally anyone else on the stage, I would have rather have heard from about their take on it than Jess. But
Are there any people from, what do you think about having half the cast on stage? Are there any people you wish we could have heard from who went out a little bit earlier?
not really. I think that was pretty much the big people. I mean, I always like to see Camilla up there because you never know what Camilla's going to do in any given moment. So I would have liked to see her there. But I think that those 12 are really the big 12 story drivers for the season.
I agree with you. But I still would have just liked to see the whole cast. I mean, I went back and I'm just like Frank, even Isaac, just for to see what he would wear. Like he'd wear like a rainbow Speedo and a unicorn horn. Like Preston, Jemmy, Jasmine, Camilla, Chet, so that he could get berated. Like I just would have liked the whole cast there. I know they don't usually do it for MTV shows in general, but I don't know. I was a little maybe just this season had more great characters gone
It
a
would have
little
been
bit
cool to
too
see
soon.
everyone there and then see like Chet not get asked the question. Kind of
Yeah.
Survivor style. People sitting in the back just chilling up there, not doing anything. We can get this. So Chet, how's the chin doing? Good? All right, we'll move on.
Speaking of sitting in the back, was there a back on this set? Kristen Narr asks, what the hell was with that seating contraption on the
This
reunion
looked like
set?
something out of like a zombie apocalypse. I have no idea what. I'm not sure what the set would go with the theme of free agents. I just know it's not that. That was I don't know what that was.
I thought it was like some like chromosome XXY thing. I didn't understand like the left side seemed to be X's, and then I really didn't understand why they had certain people positioned where they had them. So like Nani is just like isolated on the top. Jordan and Laurel aren't next to each other. Like Kahuna and Nani aren't next to each other. It just seemed such like arbitrary placement, even among the post-apocalyptic
It
set.
was bizarre. You'd think you would want them kind of in close quarters, that way you can create drama, but they were so like secluded. I mean, if you look at like the opposite ends, like Nani was on one end, I think Teresa and Bananas were the furthest thing on their end. They were like so far apart. It was like they're on a different show. It was very bizarre.
It was no, I was not a fan. I prefer the call me old fashioned, but I prefer the typical
Yeah,
seats
just yeah,
on a
and
reunion
I
stage.
mean, we almost had at the most dangerous part of the entire season with Kahuna trying to cross the stage and almost destroyed his like leg.
How makeshift did that seem when he like falls through and then CT goes to fix it and just like a little flap of cardboard or whatever it was, like in between the two
It
X's?
really just shows, I think, it was just MTV's budget or their caring for this show has just gone so down. I mean, if you think about like the types of stuff that they used to do for the challenge, I mean, they used to give away like flat screen TVs and mountain bikes for winning challenges. Now, on a reunion, they put them on a freaking beam of concrete.
I don't know, did that cost less than, reusing? They must have some seats, like some old benches from TRL somewhere in the back. Could
I
have
don't.
rolled those out.
I
That would have
mean,
been
they could have
better.
been sitting on the floor, and that would have been better.
Right, so have we exhausted the stage? We don't like
Yes,
it.
yeah, summary, we
Summary, we
don't
don't
like the
like
stage, so that's
it.
negative mark number one.
So we show, they start with the final challenge recap clip, and I just like I don't know if I thought these were the best clips to pull. We see Devin struggling, Nani with the spider, Zach dying, and then scaling the volcano.
Yeah,
What do you think of that as a summary? Pretty
It's a
good,
pretty
pretty accurate.
accurate summary, and they probably could have showed Zach dying a couple more times because that took up a lot of that hour. But I think it's pretty much got the gist of it. I don't think they showed Johnny enough because Johnny really had a great performance, and they didn't really show him that much during that little recap.
I agree. I think they should have focused on the achievements and not, I mean, listen, I'm all about normally focusing on the struggle and talking crap about it, but I mean, they showed not Nani's like arguably worst moment when she had some really prime moments. I think they could have focused more on
Yeah,
the
and it was
victory.
just amazing looking back on that clip, seeing how much room on the mountain Nani had to avoid the spider, and she's just like staring at it, transfixed by it, rather than just being, "Oh my God, I'm scared shitless of a spider. Let me go the other way."
You can't think in
I
those
guess
moments of
not. I guess
panic.
not. I guess I have to be up on a mountain with Johnny Bananas, seeing a spider before I can feel her pain.
So we still don't get to see the time difference of the boys. Katrin Stutz, sorry if I'm butchering names, asks, what was the time difference between Johnny and
And
Bananas?
going off the very reliable source of Instagram, I do have an answer to these questions. So I can provide the little details, assuming that MTV The Challenge Free Agents on Instagram is correct. These are the official times for the final. So for the men, we have Zach at 10 hours, 15 minutes, and 57 seconds. We have Little Johnny at 8 hours, 48 minutes, and 52 seconds. And Bananas, 8 hours, 11 minutes, and 1 second. So Bananas beat him by 37 minutes.
Now, why didn't we get TJ's like Bananas slaughtering the competition? You killed it, man. No one had a chance. Like, you all did well, but Bananas, like, I'm proud of you. Why didn't we get the praise that Bananas so
I don't
deserved?
know. They really just like downplayed it. They're like, and the winner for the guys is Bananas.
Maybe that's why we got the voiceover, because TJ was just like crying in joy and mocking Johnny and Zach so much. That it would have ex our TVs would have
And then just
exploded.
continuing off that for the girls' times, we had Nani at 9 hours and 34 minutes, Laurel at 9 hours and 26 minutes. So there's the little time difference. But I need to point out this. You know, Zach almost died about five or six times, okay? And he put together, you know, like I said, one of the worst finals performances ever. His time was 10 hours and 15 minutes. Devin's time was 12 hours and 39 minutes. Zach almost died a dozen times and beat her by 2.5 hours. We really need to like to digest that for a second about just how useless Devin is in this final.
All right, well, Edward Morris argues with you and says, are we too hard on Devin for being content with taking third? A majority of us wouldn't be able to complete the final. So, Brian, how much time would you be able to
It's a
complete
fair
this
question, and
challenge
I
in?
probably wouldn't have finished, but here's the difference. I did not sign up for the challenge. I am enjoying it on my couch eating popcorn and mocking these people so I can say whatever I want. I'm not on the show, so I don't have to worry about that backlash. So, Edward Morris, take that.
I mean, it's so fair. But Devin would argue, I would say, that she didn't sign up to win the show either, that she signed up to finish. So good on Devin for completing her goals. I would have preferred to see Teresa go balls out for it, but yeah, good on
She
Devin for
got her
finishing.
participation medal of $15,000.
She took half a day to complete
Good
it, and
for her.
good
Good
for
for
her. So, what I love, I absolutely love, and I have a huge question for you about this. I've been thinking about this since I watched the reunion. So, Bananas gets asked if his prize money was life-changing, and he says, not after Uncle Sam gets done with it. And I love his honesty that he's just like laughing at himself and the whole show pretty much now. And there's also a part where the Laurel and Carmaria thing explodes again, whatever, and it turns out that Laurel was complaining about one of the producers, and you hear Johnny Bananas say, like, I agree with you about that producer, by the way. So my question is, are Laurel and Bananas and certain other vets like such staples to the show that they really feel like they can do no wrong? They're not afraid to criticize MTV, the prize money, or the
I think it is,
staff?
and even more than that, it's amazing that they show that. You know, like they have a very select footage to show from the reunion, and it's very interesting that they chose to show Bananas talking about that it's taxed to half, and Laurel saying, you know, she hates the producer. I mean, maybe if they maybe she said her name or his name, they wouldn't have showed that. But it's amazing that they chose to show that. And I really like that because, you know, like going back to the past Real World season, I think one of the things that people loved about it was they were kind of breaking down that fourth wall between, you know, making, realizing that this is a television show. So they showed, you know, they showed the producers, they showed the cameramen filming them. And I think that might be the next step for the challenge to take is, you know, maybe when they're going to do these events, they show the producers, you know, like demonstrating them, or in the house, they show the producers asking them questions when they go to their confessionals. I think that's the next step is breaking down that wall and, you know, just realizing this is a television show and just, you know, showing it that, because they obviously talk about it like it's a television show. So why can't they just show it?
Well, when, then how will we know when a fight really gets serious? Because right now we know a fight's really escalated if we see a guy with a headset on holding a camera trying to box them out. But no, I agree with you. I liked that part of the Real World. I also liked that Johnny Bananas feels like he can say whatever he wants about the show. And I mean, it's not a huge insult to say after Uncle Sam gets done with it, because he does say like the experience was life changing. But, you know, I'm liking that these people feel free to kind of say what they want and aren't just trying to please the show to come back because they know that they'll be invited back.
And Bananas has to know he's pretty much bigger than the show at this point. I mean, he is, I would say, either him or CT are the most famous people, you know, other than the people who moved on, like The Miz or whatever, are the most famous people to come out of this show. So he can, I can't see him doing anything that will piss off MTV to the point of them not wanting to bring him back if he so chooses to come back.
Somewhere Johnny Bananas' bandana just ripped off his head because his head grew so large that you said he's bigger than the show.
Isn't he? I mean, he has his own freaking bobblehead that they fully display at on times during the show. So if he's not bigger than the show, then I mean, I don't know who else would be.
I mean, he's bigger than his former job at the Pizza Place and Banana Republic, so why not outgrow
the
show, too?
By the way, how perfect is it that he did work at Banana Republic? we just let the irony of all that sink in, because that was, you know, before Johnny Banana's days, that was when he was Johnny, whatever, actually, I don't even know what his real last name is. That was when he was that guy, and now he's Johnny Bananas. So perfect.
His name is Johnny, quote-unquote, Bananas, Devenanzanio.
Good choice for Johnny Bananas.
Now I'm glad that we have Johnny Riley that I can say. But no, so I agree. I loved Bananas laughing at himself. That was like definitely a highlight. Because I've been laughing at him. So, but one thing I want to talk about is, so Devin gets a question that she says it took boobs, brain, and heart to get to the end. Kevin McLean wants to know if this season was brain versus brawn versus beauty. Who would you put on which tribe? I want to know if this challenge was boobs versus brain versus heart. Who would you put where?
Oh my god, that's a fascinating question. I guess Devin would be in the boobs category. Because, you know, I'll go back to that question in a second. But it's funny that you said the answer was heart, by the way. You know, all these people who want to say Devin is, like, the smartest person in the game and the best, you know, strategic person that she was able to get to the end. And even she didn't choose brain. Let's just let that sink in for a second. All right? Let's move on. But that's neither here nor there. So you got boobs, you got heart, and you got brain. I guess, I don't even know, who would you put on brain? Who was a brain person on the challenge?
I think we have to go Chet in brains. I think we have to go Naya in brains, just for her, like, effed up, strategical, weird mind.
I can see that.
I think we almost have to go Laurel in brains.
Interesting.
I think for boobs, I'm going to go Zach.
That's fine. I was going to say Zach, so that's fine.
I'm going to go Camilla.
Yes.
Anissa, probably.
Probably. I can see Anissa.
And maybe Jess. I don't have, like, I wasn't paying enough attention during this part, so maybe you can weigh in.
Yeah. I guess for heart, we'll put Johnny Riley in there. Seems like he's got a lot of heart. I'll put Isaac in there. I don't know where else he would go. Let's see. Who else from the final 12? I could put Kahada in heart. I think he would fit pretty well. Actually, no, Kahada would be in brains.
I would also put Jemmy in heart. Maybe Toya
Yeah, I
and
can see that.
Hart.
Yeah, LaToya is a lot of heart. LaToya's a
All
lot.
right, but so back to the real question. Any beauty brains, brawn? Like any bra, I mean, I guess boobs is just brawn for the guys and boobs for the girls. So maybe we
Yeah,
covered
pretty
it.
much. I think so. I guess like you'd also put someone like Frank in the brains department if you really wanted to.
He transcends all three categories.
Yeah. He's a little bit like a Spencer, I
Yeah.
guess, or yeah, he's a three-way player.
So I loved when Zach finally gives credit to Devin in his backward, sarcastic way. But he
Yes,
says,
that was one of the biggest backhanded compliments I've ever seen in my entire
like, if
life.
I died, then Devin's definitely been dead for a year. Like, that's not what he's, I'm exaggerating even worse. I didn't need to exaggerate because it was pretty bad what he said. Devin's already dead. But I think she'll take it at this point. I mean, he's really, really been hating on her.
Yeah, I mean, as is everyone, I'm probably at the front of that line, but I mean, she did finish, so good for her. But again, I don't think this show is not really to me about just proving something to yourself and finishing. I think people can really put a lot of more effort into the final and give a lot better performance, and I'd much rather see that than someone proving something to themselves. If I need to see that, I'll go to like the third grade spelling bee or
It's
something.
about proving it to TJ.
That's true. He did get he TJ was very proud. So, if TJ was very proud, I don't see how I can go against Tej.
One thing is, they're laughing at Zach's giving credit to Devin and laughing hysterically about at his own performance, and we get that cute little story about Zach not being able to open his hand. But would all of this be as funny if Laurel lost because of Zach?
No, I don't think it would be, and it's a good point. Definitely Laurel would not be treating it as funny, if Zach really, quit. And I think we had a question about that. Yeah, Edward Morris says, if Zach quit, what do you guys think they would have done with Laurel and her time? And I really don't know. I don't know how you just, what you just give the person, you give them the worst time plus 20 minutes or something like that. And back, I mean, 9 minutes, I think that would have probably swung it. So if, Zach did even worse, then there's no way Laurel's joking around about, opening Zach's hand. I mean, she would be very pissed, I
I mean,
think.
there was a time when Sarah got sent home because her partner got sent home. Like, I don't think it would have been that drastic, but I wouldn't put it past the challenge to really, really screw Laurel over someone quitting.
Yeah, and it's tough, because you only have that partner that one round, so it's not like you could, I think during like the first Rallis finale, either Mike or Leroy wanted to quit, so their time was just done. But if Zach quits, I guess Laurel could have just gone on her own to finish that round. That's theoretically possible. It's not like she needed Zach to finish that
I
round,
mean,
so I guess they could have done
I have to
that.
believe if Laurel knew she could just continue on without Zach, she would have just left him and let him quit. There must have been some major penalty, whether it's you get a DQ time like you were talking about, or she gets pulled. I wouldn't think that she would get pulled, but she definitely had to know the rules and she knew she was going to get penalized. Otherwise, she would have just said see ya, because she would have saved a lot of time.
I'm trying to think. They weren't latched together,
Well, no,
right? They
so
were on their own.
Laurel makes a comment that she attached herself to Zach to pull him. So I don't think that they were necessarily attached prior to that.
Yeah, so they must have been told that, you have to go at your or I guess the time is really just whoever is the slowest person at the time. So no matter how quickly you finish, it doesn't really matter. It's up to the slowest person in the group to finish. So I guess you have to stick with them.
And do you think there's a difference between when you hold back a partner or a team that you are like fixed to for the whole challenge, than when you're just like this one pairing in an individual challenge?
This guy, I'm not even sure what is worse. I'm thinking about it. I'm not sure what's worse, if you let down an entire team that you were working with the whole season, or if you let down someone you're only working with in one round. I feel like the one round is probably worse, because at least with the team you can say you had some role in getting them there, as opposed to here it's really, you really had no role in getting them to this point. So I think that's probably
I
worse.
mean, if Zach, bellyached for 9 more minutes and Laurel lost this, I think losing an individual challenge that somebody could clearly prove they would have won otherwise is pretty bad, especially when you had no, it was totally random to be set together. I mean, in both cases, it's pretty terrible, but
I mean, yeah. I mean, we joke about it with Zach doing it to Laurel, but if, I mean, if you really think about it, I think the round that Johnny had Devin, I believe Bananas beat him by a very substantial time. I think it was like 40, 45 minutes that round. Do you still have the times for
I
the
can pull it up.
final? Because I think for that round, Bananas really separated himself. And looking back on that time, that Bananas beat Johnny by about 35, 37 minutes. So, I think Devin really did cost Bananas the cost Johnny the final, and at least took away any chance that he could have to make it up going into those final two stages.
Yeah, oh, and you mean the puzzle one when Devin and Johnny were together? Devin and Bananas or Devin and Johnny?
Devin and Johnny were together up the mountain,
Oh,
right?
Johnny Riley.
Yeah, Johnny Riley. Because, I mean, that was when Bananas and Nani killed, so they
Yeah,
had
so
him
yeah,
by a large time,
it
right?
was the same time that Zach held back Laurel. So yeah, we have you know what? I didn't even write it down. I think they finished behind because we had 2 hours and 19 minutes for Nani Bananas, and then only 20 minutes later, Zach and Laurel finished. So yeah, that didn't even get written down in my notes. They must have finished much later.
Yeah, they
Sorry
had
about
to finish
that.
much later. Yeah, no, that's okay. Yeah, so I think, Devin really did hold back Johnny, and I don't think Johnny showed any ill will
Yeah, I mean, I
to
don't think it was
Devin.
the 30 minutes of difference, but no,
Yeah.
definitely a factor.
So one of the biggest interesting thing that I took away from this reunion was the whole Jordan Bananas dynamic. I could listen to those two talk about this thing for hours. So we don't think we really got to we started doing this podcast after that whole thing was settled. So where did you really land on the Jordan Bananas feud?
I mean, I was so impressed with the way Bananas handled this today. I'm not today as though I was with them today. I was really impressed with the way Bananas handled himself, just saying over and over to Jordan that he doesn't need to like he just read Jordan like a like that book on Chile that he read in the cabin or whatever. That Jordan definitely has this I need to prove myself attitude. And Bananas is just like, you don't just shut up, put up or shut up. I want to know what you think of when we got to see the replay of Bananas saying, you won't just be missing a head when I come in there and take your head off. A little
Yeah,
controversial.
that was a rough quote. That was a rough quote. But to me, I didn't take that as that bad. It's like the heat of the moment. You're amped up. You're fired up. And the reason why I didn't take it that bad is because I don't think Jordan took it that bad. He was brushed off. He's like, oh yeah, that's like that's good smack talk. I like to hear that stuff. So if Jordan was very offended, then I think I would have taken it a bunch of different way. But because he was fine with it, I just took it as Bananas just shooting his mouth off, and I mean, he knew that was a stupid thing to say, but in the heat of the moment, I didn't really have that much of a problem with it.
I don't know. I think we have to assume Jordan taking it lightly is just Jordan's like ego. I think Jordan like hurts more than he lets on, but I'm not going to be his therapist. I'm not going to really psychoanalyze him. He took that comment like a champ. But do you buy Jordan's, oh, Bananas is the best, so I wanted to beat the best. It would have been better. Do you buy that
I
or
think it's
no?
partly definitely that. I think, Jordan was a competitor and he wants to win and he wants to take out the best. You can't deny that. I think part of it is for television. I think he realizes about the way they do these types of shows, and he sees 2 years down the road, they do Rivals 3. Bananas and Jordan are going to be paired together. I don't see any way they're not. So that I think that had to be in the back of his head. And I just think he kind of got caught up in his ego about wanting to just prove to everyone else again that he can beat anyone, and he looked at Bananas, and that's who he ended up going against. I think all those three kind of just boiled together for this.
Speaking of future partners, Anna Jose asked, who would you rather see on an ex's season, Jordan and Sarah or Jordan and Laurel? And who would do better? And which pairings from this season would you like to see on Rivals 3? So Jordan and Bananas obviously comes up there.
Yeah, so first with the pairings, Jordan and Bananas, yeah, and then I think seeing Teresa and Laurel together, I think that would be a pretty, I mean, that'd be a pretty strong pair. So I'd like to see them. I don't want to see Carr and Laurel together again. I mean, A, I don't think they really are rivals at this point, and B, we've already gone down that road with the first rivals, so I don't think we need to see them. So Laurel and Teresa, I think, would be a better pair.
If Laurel and Jordan were to break up, I would love to see Jordan on an ex's season with her, or Jordan on ex's season with Bananas, a rival season with Bananas, because I don't think that Jordan can get past this in the way that most groups do. Like, I see Jordan's ego being way too large to sort of settle his differences, and maybe he'd prove me wrong, but I think it would definitely at least make for, like, a good first three
Yeah, I
episodes.
think for all those rivals pairs that we've had over the two seasons that they've done, the really the only one that truly never formed and at least not maybe become friends but become acquaintances was Kenny and Wes during the first one. They really did hate each other. I think they really still do hate each other, and it showed throughout that season. And I think a Bananas-Jordan pairing, I think Bananas would try hard to make it work because he wants to win and maybe get his eighth title whenever they do Rivals 3, but I don't think Jordan would be able to put that aside.
I mean, the difference between the two of them is really, like, the new school versus the old school maturity, where, like, we've been talking kind of our whole podcast about how there's definitely a difference in, like, CT has grown up, Bananas has grown up, and when Bananas is saying, like, you gotta come in here, leave your pride at the door, like, it's for the money, and Jordan says, like, I'll make money later. He hasn't learned one thing from embarrassing himself on television.
Yeah, you know, they asked him, would you do it? I think they asked him, would you do it again? And I think the answer is yes. I think if they were in that same situation and it played out exactly as how it did, Jordan flips over the cards every single time just to prove that he can do it. And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if free agents too, he does a similar type of thing to someone else, because I think that's just who Jordan is, and he'll continue to do that. And I don't see him changing anytime soon, at least when, you know, the age that he is to be on the challenge.
So you mentioned, though, that you'd like to see Teresa and Laurel on a Rivals rival season. I didn't realize how truly big rivals they were, really, until it just blew up at the reunion.
Yeah, that was. I didn't realize that either because, you know, they were Fresh Meat 2 alums. So you would have thought they would have had a little bit of a friendship there. But it really spiraled out. I think it's just because either Laurel truly doesn't think Teresa is much of a threat, or she just likes to rile Teresa up by saying stuff like that. But yeah, they really don't like each other.
I mean, I forgot how hilarious it was that Teresa votes Jasmine after we see her, like, the juxtaposition of her rallying everyone against Laurel. So I'm glad I got to see that again. So Laurel says she doesn't consider Teresa a threat. Do you think she should?
Doesn't, because, I mean, you know, to be fair, Teresa was, I think, 0-4 in eliminations. You know, she didn't really get very far in any of the seasons. But it's tough to just judge someone off these new challenges because it's so partner-based. It's so, you know, what elimination you're in. It's so specific. It's hard to do that. And, you know, I think Teresa would do well in a final because, I think long-distance running is one of her strong suits. I think she did pretty well in the Fresh Meat 2 season, even though her partner was Ryan. So that kind of held her back. But I think she should view her as a threat, but I can understand her not. But then I can understand Laurel not viewing pretty much anyone as a threat because she's Laurel.
I mean, I think Teresa established her threat status this season. Prior to that, I agree. I don't think she'd really done much to be considered a threat. Her finishes definitely don't show that. I mean, she blamed Jasmine, but you weren't with Jasmine every time. Like, let's... So Laurel makes good of her new shoes and stomps her way over to Teresa. But I have to say, I agree with Laurel. When Teresa escalates it to, I'm going to punch you in the face, and doesn't back it up, we all haven't been in that situation, but then Teresa starts saying, like, I'm not going to lower myself. Like, I'm not going to dignify you with a response. But Teresa did call her out physically and then just punched away. I got to side with Laurel on that.
You know, I think everyone's always saying, you know, anyone really pissed, you know, I'm going to punch you, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then, obviously, you would hope for most people they wouldn't actually do it. And, you know, I guess it's good that it didn't escalate to the Knight Frank level of her actually punching her. Although, I mean, that probably would have been pretty good television if she did. But, you know, I guess it's good. It's just like a tough spot. And, you know, you can see in Teresa's face that she's not one who really likes dealing with any of this type of drama. She has no idea how to deal with it. And she just wanted to be anywhere else on the face of the planet rather than right there staring at Laurel.
I'm a little confused as to why Teresa blocked everyone on Twitter. Like, Devin and Nani kind of call her out for blocking them. She is still not following Devin or Nani on Twitter, but she is following Leroy, Preston, Cat Williams, Us Weekly, yes, and both of us. So
we're better than that.
If she wants to follow us, I support her not following Devin.
It's just amazing that Twitter is really taking over the challenge world. I mean, we had old partner on Rivals dedicated because of Twitter, and now we have segments at the reunion dedicated to Twitter. I don't know how the challenge survived pre-social media. I don't get it. I mean, how did these people interact and build feuds with each other?
They had
I
to
guess
leave
so.
it all in the
I
house.
guess so. And then, going back to Teresa for a second, it's funny when the whole Bananas Jordan thing, Bananas said, the whole point of this show is to avoid elimination. You do whatever you can to avoid elimination. But for someone like Teresa, going back to when it was between her and Kara, she got absolutely railroaded for even hinting that she was doing anything to avoid elimination. So it's bizarre that, in other shows, someone like a Boston Rob or a Tony is lauded for their strategic play of manipulating people. But here, Teresa was just absolutely railroaded for even contemplating pulling people to vote in for Kara. So it's very weird, the dynamic of, manipulating and strategizing in the Challenge House.
There is no such thing as a not personal choice made in the challenge. I mean, everyone takes everything extremely personally. Part of that is because we keep seeing, these people who have relationships with each other outside of the house, like talk about pregame alliances. All the people are returners, pretty much, at least from a real world season, a road rule season. So I think it was kind of like Kara just, first of all, she was completely done just with everything, emotionally spent. But it was also Teresa had become her new BFF after Laurel, and she just took it personally, completely personally, which you don't necessarily see that as much in Survivor.
Okay, I think that's fair. So then we got to discuss all the couples from this season. So who are you most surprised to see that were actually still together? Jordan and Laurel or Kahata and Nani?
What I'm most surprised about is that we even asked Jess about her and Dustin.
I gotta be honest, I totally forgot that A, that they were together, and B, that even Dustin was on this season.
I wrote down Jessica and Dustin. No need to discuss. I didn't write down what she said about him. I don't care. They were not a. They kissed one time. Everyone in that house has kissed each other. I'm sorry. I don't care about your showmance.
Yeah, but I'm sure they'll use it to be partners on X's too.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. No, I've been shocked this whole time that Kanata. That's their celebrity name. Kahata and Nani were real. I mean, good for them. And Kahata's face looked completely heartbroken when they were showing that clip of Johnny and Nani. And so, I thought that was like the most beautiful moment in reality TV history, where Kahata asked Nani to the prom. And we find out that Nani's good on her word, that she did blow him up after the show was over.
In many
apparently
ways.
But texting him all the time, asking to be BF.
Are you my boyfriend yet? How about that?
But what do you think about Laurel even trying to make relationships a competition, where Mosley's like, oh, Jordan didn't run back and kiss you. And she's like, actually, he got fined because he was in this room and then opened the door and tried to see me. So we're the best couple.
Yeah.
Everything's a competition for her.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why she's great, though.
Fair enough.
She doesn't let, even just the littlest thing, she has to win. She has to prove she's the best, even if it's getting her boyfriend fined.
One thing I have to say is that Nani's argument with Kahata about, telling, did she tell Kahata, did she not tell Kahata, is it Johnny's fault, is it Banana's fault, whatever, is that her he wasn't my boyfriend argument is way stronger than I was scared of my feelings, so I thought I'm going to F it up. Like, stick with the he wasn't your boyfriend. Like, let's not get into a psychological breakdown about your baggage.
Yeah, and the not my boyfriend argument is 100% valid. I mean, they were probably in the house for 2 weeks. What is it to Kahata who Nani's hooking up with? I mean, it's 2 weeks in a challenge house. It's not like they've gone on 6 dates and like a month-long vacation. Like, relax over there. She can do what she wants.
One thing I want to get back to, I'm totally jumping around, but I don't want to talk about Jessica and Dustin's relationship, and that's the next part. So, Johnny Riley, when they were talking about his, first of all, he took that beating like a champ from Nani and Ghana, just like,
yes,
all a piece of meat. Yeah, that was amazing. But so we find out that Johnny had like this like Tyson method of going into the draw, just saying like, put me wherever you want. Yeah, I'm a rookie. Put you wherever you want. I wouldn't discount submitting to the vets as a strategy beyond just like it being random, but acknowledging your rookie status. One time, little anecdote, Mike Scoopin actually talked to one of my classes in college, and somebody asked him, like, would it be beneficial to, like, give you more rice? Like, if I'm a small girl and I give you some of my food every day. And he was like, I would definitely consider keeping someone around who's, you know, helping me benefit. So I thought that was, like, a little – an interesting thing that Kara let out, that Johnny would be, like, submit to the veterans every time and say, I'm a rookie, put me wherever. And it worked out for him in luck, and it worked out for him strategically in the game.
Yeah, and I think it's not a bad move. I mean, you know, if I was ever a rookie on the challenge, which I never will be, but if I was, my move is kind of just, you know, do enough in this season to get called back. And, you know, if you go by the veterans early, you know, you'll be taken along for the first few episodes and you'll have a much better chance of getting called back rather than if you go out after them, you might be eliminated week one or two. So I think there's something to, you know, playing under the radar a little bit. And then, you know, halfway through, then you start making your moves.
You just played right into a question that you don't know that I have for you.
Oh,
but
boy.
Colin Stone asks a lengthy question. So with Modern Survivor, there's a lot of talk about people pandering to the cameras in order to get a chance to play again. It seems like on the challenge that it is clear the correct thing to do as a rookie, since you'll never realistically get a chance to win your first time, is playing to become a regular. So is the real game playing to become a regular and then you'll start having a chance to win? Is there more value in playing to return than playing to try to win your first season? And I want to add as a follow-up, what's the difference between playing to return on Survivor and playing to return on the challenge? Is there a difference?
So first part, I say...
Yeah, I just hit you with that. Boom.
That's a lot. First part is... I think, yes, it is better to play to return your first season or two than play to win. And even more so to play to win, because the way, you know, we talked about this with Rob, but the way the challenge pay structure is, you want to be there enough to earn your veteran status and your veteran pay, however much it may be. So I think doing that is very important. You don't want to be one of the one or two season flameouts and then you're gone. You know, you want to try to build your relationships and build your friends and build your bankroll by being there 4, 5, 6 seasons. And then around that time, that's when you can win. And, you know, even someone like Bananas, you know, that's kind of what he did. People, you know, he's won 5 times, but people may forget. He didn't win until his 4th or 5th season. You know, he was knocked out early a couple times. You know, he had to earn his veteran status and then he finally won. So I think that's really more the route to take. And then second part of the question, what to do. So it's really kind of the same thing, just in a different context. You know, Survivor, a lot of things you want to do is make a big move. And in the challenge, it's kind of a big move, but the moves in the challenge are a little different. The move really is starting a fight or hooking up with someone. Those are the big ways. Those are the big moves to make to earn your own special spotlight episode. And anytime you can get an episode to end in some type of like a public service announcement of, you know, if you were dealing with hard violence, you know, contact this number. Anytime you do that, you're on to the next season. So that should be the rookie's goal.
I mean, I think the quote unquote crazy person who becomes just like an insane character, like your Philip Shepherd, your coach, whatever, Brandon Hance, comes back on Survivor. I don't know that person necessarily comes. I mean, you have your Tanya, but I don't, like, do you see Isaac coming back just for being a weirdo?
No, but I also don't think he did enough really this season. You know, if he started, like, if he was in a big fight with, you know, even like, not even just Bananas, but even just, let's say he got into a big thing with CT for like an episode or two and even, you know, tossed him to the ground or not, you know, got tossed to the ground, I should say. And then, you know, started like a relationship with, I don't know, like the toy or something like that. I think that would kind of boost his chances. Because I think, you know, unfortunately for us, I think for me, I would much rather see someone who's a strong competitor come back. But I think MTV is more looking for the strong personality more so than the competitor. So I think that's kind of more the route they take.
See, I do think we've been getting stronger and stronger seasons more and more seasons with stronger and stronger competitors. And I think, I mean, you have Jasmine who, you know, she's just 90 pounds. She can't help it. It's not like she's not fit, but she just goes crazy. So you see her there. But I do think we are starting to trim the, you know, the Big Easies, the Siobhans, who are totally, totally useless. I mean, we even saw Preston rise up here in this challenge. So I would say, my opinion, I agree with what you're saying. But I think Survivor, you can get brought back just by being a character, just by being like a lunatic. And here you either have to, like you were saying, engage with the other housemates in a the other competitors in a memorable way, or you just have to be a dominant beast, and then you'll get a lot of airtime because more and more of the time is spent on the actual challenges.
I think that's fair. I think that's very fair.
So, way to handle that that monster of a question.
Yeah, that was a hell of a question.
Do we have to talk about Kara and Laurel?
You know, I don't think so. You know, we started this basically when that fight started, and I think we covered it to the nth degree, and I think this reunion covered it. I liked the little present Laurel got Kara, the little joke book or whatever, but...
Roar.
Yeah. It'll really, really stir in a roar, but, I mean, I think we got it. We got it covered.
Great. Best news I've heard all day. So, one thing I normally love the S they should have shown, you know, when they do those specials, but I thought really the only worthwhile clip we saw in this package was the last time CT was on in an elimination bit.
That was great. I wanted to see more of that.
Yeah, but everything else, I mean, I kind of thought, like, I didn't really need to see Naya with their feet and Isaac going into the pool with the suit on.
Or Preston naked.
Yeah, I mean, well, that kind of seemed like a hate crime, but everything else, and they didn't even show that clip until, you know, someone mentioned it. But I kind of didn't really think I needed to see any of those clips. Like Frank doing a body shot off of someone. Okay. Yeah. I didn't think they held anything back too major this season.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of expecting to see more. And usually they, you know, like you said, they have a whole episode devoted to it. So the fact that they only had those little clips and those weren't that very enticing shows that there probably wasn't that much stuff. And I wonder if they're just really just making them too bored in this house. Like there's a point of being bored where, you know, you can create fun games and fun ways to entertain yourselves. And then there's a point where you're just so bored, you don't feel like doing anything. And I feel like maybe they're getting to that point where they don't do anything. You know, they go out maybe, I think, once at the bar, but they don't let them do anything. They're stuck in a house. They got to let them start exploring and making that part of the show, too.
I mean, big liability there to let these crazy people explore Uruguay, but... I'm down to watch it. If they're willing to take that risk, I want to watch it.
Yeah.
The one thing, though, that we did get interesting, I mean, I don't know how you felt about the fan questions. I think our listener questions are way better than these fan questions we got. Mm-hmm. How many wigs does Devin wear? Kahuta, why aren't you married yet? Like, okay. Bananas, can you keep motivating Kara? Okay. Like, but Kara lets out, you know, that Abram's gonna kill her if she mentions a cast sandwich. Are Abram and Kara still together?
Yeah, they very much are.
This is news to me.
Yeah, they're very.
You got anything on this?
I know I'm pretty sure they're living in Montana together, which just living in Montana alone is pretty crazy. But yeah, I think they have a house together. I saw them. Kara let out like an Instagram of them like going to a movie or something like that together. They're like an old boring couple.
Yeah, celebrities, they're just like us. Yeah. That's great. Good for them. But I was pretty disappointed in those questions. I thought those couldn't be the best questions they had. Those were just kind of throwaways, I think.
I feel like Johnny Mosley asked those questions secretly.
Yeah, Johnny Mosley's dying to know, do you hook up in the bathroom? Is that the best place to hook up? Because he's trying to hook up in the house.
I mean, I know Nani hooks up on, like, the futon outside with Johnny. So that's her move.
God. So I had some of my favorite moments that we didn't get to talk about that I just wanted to bring up and get your opinions on.
Sure. And
so go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, and then there's a few questions I wanted to tackle that some of the viewers had. So we can do both of those.
Great. So I thought Kara and Laurel's BS fight way overshadowed the best fight of the season, which is when CT like ends up somehow paying the bill at Kahuta's birthday party, and then somehow Camilla decides to tear into him, and that then leads to Nani and Camilla going at it. Like I couldn't understand, and we get Hurricane Camilla, and then the next day just kind of like whatever. We're fine. We're cool, girl. You're my bestie.
The paycheck incident left me perplexed for about a good month afterwards. And I'm really, you know, people might think I'm overstating that. I'm really not. I thought about that situation for a while, and I had no idea how it came to that. You know, first it shocked me that MTV won't even pay for their drinks in a foreign country. That alone shocked me. But then that they didn't work out a way to split the bill, that CT was covering their bill. it left me so confused and wanting to know so much more about what happens when they go out. It was amazing. And yes, the Camilla Nani fight, to this day, I don't think anyone really knows what it's about. And anything to let Camilla go, the Camilla Nader on us is great.
I mean, these people are willing to scale a volcano for $15,000. Are you really surprised that they're trying to skip out on a bill for a night out?
It's true. And I don't think skipping out on a bill in Uruguay is going to end well. You may end up in a place you might not want to
Another thing that I was really impressed with, and I don't think we were able to give these two competitors credit, is Preston and Toya's like rise slash surprising moment. So we have like Preston, who for the first time, in challenge history, I'd say, is like a very worthwhile competitor. And I'm saying that in comparison to himself. I'm not comparing him to
be.
Bananas.
Okay, good.
But we see him in Bounce Out. We see Isaac like failing miserably, and when they're all in these like orbs. And Preston to the rescue helps Jordan get into the goal, and everyone's calling him MVP. And he had a few good challenges. I don't understand why he still, again, gets picked last every time.
I mean, I think he is still. I mean, I would agree maybe he's better than Isaac and Chet at this point, but I mean, are you really going to pick Leroy behind? Are you really going to pick him over Leroy? Are you really going
I'm
to pick.
picking him over Swift every
I would
time.
pick him over Swift, even though Swift declared himself the third strongest man in the house at one point. But yeah, I would agree to pick him over Swift, but that's kind of it. I mean, it's still like Dustin over him, it's still Frank over him, still I think Johnny over him, so.
Right, but we just named three people we would pick over, like we would pick Preston over. And did he ever not get picked last?
No, I don't think so.
Team Preston,
Team
Team
Press.
Purple Hair and Big Hats. Team
You could be
Preston.
Team Press and I'll be Team Latoya because I thought she was the biggest surprise of the season. I thought she would be one of those that, comes on for one season of the challenge and does absolutely nothing and then we never hear from her again. But I want to see Latoya back. I don't care what the next season is, who she's with. I just want to see her back on my television.
I completely agree. I thought her and Jemmy's elimination was like one of the best eliminations of the season. I thought it was a huge surprise. I thought it was extremely physical. And she knocked out Jemmy, who, I don't know when we started considering Jemmy like a huge threat, but apparently everyone was impressed by that. I was definitely impressed by her just coming out and going balls in, which was the name of the elimination. But unfortunately for Toya, Jemmy does not predict the future. I love how Jemmy gives her a hug and is like, "They won't come after you now. You proved yourself. They won't come after you
Yeah, that was her way of really
now."
complimenting herself on her way out of it. She's
Yeah,
like, "Hey, you beat
exactly.
a really you beat one of the best girls in the house. Good for you." Meanwhile, she's talking
But
about herself.
unfortunately for Toya, we didn't see much more of her, but I just thought that was great. And then the last thing I just need to get in before the show wraps, just before we close the season, is the best inappropriate quote challenge ever, which was the challenge with all the first challenge that we covered. But I didn't get to get these quotes in, and I want to get these quotes in because
Do
I think
this to
they're
me.
great. So we have Kahuna. This is when they're running back and forth across to move the balls from side to side. We have Kahuna saying, should I do like a bad Southern accent? I look and I can see Zach and CT's balls, and we are just a wee bit behind them. That was a mess. We have Leroy and Johnny. I don't know who said this, but one of them said, like, where the F do the blue balls go?
That was my
And
favorite.
then this is also when we get, I'm blown away, or I'm sorry, blow is a strong word from Kahuna. And then the elimination is called Balls In. So that was just an episode start to finish chock full of inappropriate quotes. Made me really happy. My funniest moment of the season.
There we go.
So.
That was very it was very funny. Love seeing those great quotes. You whip them out, you never know what's gonna happen. So those are good.
So do we want to take some questions? We have Edward Morris, who's the champion of the questions this week.
Yeah, there was one question from Jude Ray Almario. I think he would say his name. This is a really good question. One I've actually personally been thinking about. We all talked about how much we love the draw, and he wrote, "Do you think the draw will be exclusive to the free agents format, or will we see it in X's or Rivals or any of the other seasons?" So, do you think this is just like a one and done type thing with the draw? Because I mean, they can bring it back next season, whatever the format is, whatever it is, they can bring it back. Do you think they will?
Do you think that this format works on a teams or pairs challenge?
I think it could. What if the draw really does is it just takes away the, whoever finishes last goes automatically in. So I don't, maybe in like a team battle, it might be a little tougher. Actually, no, I think a team would probably it would work well. I think it could work no matter what they do, and I think it just adds a fun level of excitement to the show. And I think it should stay for good.
I think it's kind of like Blood versus Water. Like, it was a great season. It made for one of the best seasons that can be debated, but it made for a great season. But you can't just bring it back every time. Like, I do think that I have no knowledge on this. I do think that it will probably stay to a free agency. Like, I would love for you to be right 100%. I would love for it to be a draw every time. But, I mean, we have Johnny Riley who makes a comment about, like, oh, free agents too. Can't wait. I love the draw. But that isn't really any information. I don't know. I think that it may kill it to have it time and time again.
I can see that.
I would like to stick with free agents, but definitely see a free agents too coming up soon.
Absolutely.
That would be my preference. So, I wanted to move to a question by Edward Morris. I didn't just give him like a random shout out, but he deserves it because he asked 100 questions and we love it. So from Fresh Meat 2 until now, we've seen Darrell, Jillian, Tori, Abram twice, Dan, Derek, Katie, Mark, and Rachel. This is the third straight season with no Road Rulers. Do you think MTV is done with the former Road Rulers? If not, who should come back, including those mentioned?
I don't know if they're really done with them. I just wonder if they're more done with the challenge. I mean, they are older. I don't know. I mean, The Miz obviously has moved on to bigger and better things, being the WWE. I mean, I think it would be pretty awesome if he did come back to do a challenge. I think that'd be pretty cool after all he's done. But, you know, I think kind of they're moved on. You know, we actually talked about Katie Doyle, what she's up to nowadays, you know, turning down. They actually go to school, so good for her. But, yeah, I think they're kind of just moved on. And now it's kind of more of like the Fresh Meat 2 and on people are kind of the new staples of the show. And you know, I'm fine with that. I didn't want to bring back an Abram or Landon every now and then, but I think they've kind of moved on from them.
I mean, yeah, they definitely don't have the same pool to keep pulling from as, you know, Road Rules doesn't exist anymore. I did do a little, like, walk down memory lane. I'd like to know what Tina is up to, Kenny's partner from Fresh Meat 1. But, I mean, also, like, Tori and Brad, they're not coming back. They have real lives. They have kids. But it did lead me to an idea. I would love to see, like, an MTV couples challenge. So, like, either people who are together or hookups that didn't end badly.
Do they have enough of those people to fill the challenge?
I don't know. I didn't try to cast it. Maybe I'll work on that in the off season. But I just think if they could pull that together, you know, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see, like, a married couple, like, fighting over, like, pulling honey off the other one or something.
And that's when you can give away the free tuition to their future kid.
Perfect.
So, not to give Edward Morris more of a shout-out, but he asked, I'm going to tweak his question a little bit. He asked what players that got booed early should come back. I'm going to ask what players from this season shouldn't come back.
Ooh.
Get a little negative.
I hope he's okay with this.
I hope so.
You know, let's see. I hate to say it. I feel like Brandon gets like a raw deal a lot of times, but I don't really get anything exciting out of him. I mean, he's a decent competitor, but I think we tend to see him go early. And please correct me because I'm sure.
No, you're pretty right. He made like one deep run once, but yeah, he hasn't made some of it bad luck, some of it, you know, just bad timing, stuff like that. But yeah, he hasn't made much of a deep run.
Swift, I could really do without. Chet. I just think I love Chet, but I really think he totally bailed on this, and I'm kind of over it. I don't think he offers enough. He definitely doesn't offer hookup drama, and he doesn't really offer too much athletic prowess. So I'm kind of done with Chet. What do you think for the girls?
Jess. You know, a lot of people like Jess. I'm not one of those people.
I'm on your side.
Yeah, I really don't need to see her anymore. I feel like that's not the case. I feel like she's become one of MTV's favorites. You know, she's getting airtime on The Reunion when, you know, like I said, she really has no business getting airtime. But I just don't think, you know, she adds a lot. I think she morphed herself into a good competitor this time around, so I can't really take that away from her. But just, it's just always been something about her personality that's always just feels so forced and fake and just something I don't need to see on the challenge going forward.
Emily being back, I realized I didn't really miss her. I don't.
Yeah, she's one of those fun people who makes it when the first couple episodes are all partying and everyone's going crazy. She'll always do something to stand out. But yeah, she's never going to be one of those making it to the end and pushing Laurel or the other Emily to the end. So.
And maybe slightly controversially, John A. I used to love John A. I loved John A. on the season she was hooking up with Zach. But she just kind of makes me sad now. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the problem, like her and Jasmine are kind of the same because they're always like on this. They're always on, and they feel like they always go the same amount of time, and then they always get knocked out like week 5 or 6 every single time. I feel like if we took like a 2 season break from them, we would kind of start to miss them, and then when they came back, it would be like, oh, John A, and Jasmine, it's so good to see you. But when they're on every season, it's kind of just the same thing over and over again.
See, I never get sick of Jasmine. She's a spitfire. I love Jasmine. John A, I agree. I think if John A took a few seasons out, got her life together, came back, I would be more interested in seeing her.
Let's see, is there any other questions?
Oh, I just want to say that Zachary's Arnett Klein was the person who asked about the reason for TJ's voiceovers when announcing the results of the challenge. I just kind of poached that, but
Here's one more. Gregory Contreras says, I enjoyed the season a lot because of the competitors were on their own. Do you guys prefer seasons with teams, pairs, or individuals?
You know, I loved this season with the whole format, the draw, and the individuals, like specifically to the season because of the draw. I like the individuals. Otherwise, I do like the pairs, and I like when they have like a reason for being potentially controversial pairs. I just like that dynamic. I also am a huge Fresh Meat fan because I like, I like the pick based on when they did the based on watching them compete and then they got, drafted. I do like the seeing the evolution of the pair, the team together. I think people can hide way easier in a big team. So I definitely like individuals or pairs. What about you?
Yeah, I liked when they did the first Exes and Rivals. I liked when, those pairs were real, they really had a lot of history, so it made a lot of sense. I feel like when they did Rivals 2, and I feel like Exes 2 is coming next, and those are going to be a lot more force pairs, so those aren't going to be as intriguing to me. And I really miss the team aspect. I don't think they've really done one since Cutthroat, and I really like the way they did that about, just schoolyard pick. And I miss that type of thing about everyone just, picking their own teams. And I hope they go back to that at some point because I think that would be pretty cool. And even bring it back the way they do Fresh Meat, where they have them scout and do a combine. I love that they just, did like the Challenge Legends and just had like Bananas, Mark Long, Evelyn, and like Paula be captains. And then they go around the country scouting out who they want on their teams. I mean, who wouldn't watch like a 2 week miniseries event of them going around trying to, Bananas trying to convince Evan to come out of retirement and be on his team, and Paula trying to get Emily to be on her team? Like, that would be so cool, and I would love to see that. But I mean, that's never gonna happen. But that's my fantasy season in my head.
I mean, it would start with a bit of like road rules, and it would
Right.
end with the challenge,
Yeah,
road
you
trip.
get to work on their recruitment skills. It's like a Mike Krzyzewski at Duke trying to convince someone to come play at his school. You get Bananas on the kitchen table talking to Mark Long and Mark Long's parents about, what he could do for them going forward. That would be so cool.
I mean, as always, I hope MTV is listening to your pitches.
I mean, God bless them if they are, but I have a feeling they're not.
I don't want to rain on your parade at all, but so I have a little MTV slash challenge, just real world gossip segment for you.
Okay.
And it's only two things, don't get too excited. But Paula is not only newly married, but her due date is today. She has not had the child yet as of recording this. But she is over 9 months pregnant with her first child, so I don't think she's taking that on the road.
I don't think so either, and I would really hope not. That would be a whole new season of Challenge Pregnancy. That would
But
be.
so a hearty mazel tov goes out to Paula on her marriage and her new baby.
Good for her.
I wonder if he'll be named Johnny.
Paula Walnuts as a kid, as a mother.
Hey,
Kind of just like
hey,
dampens
hey.
the whole thing.
And then, major scoop that comes out of the Big Brother viewing party that happened, the premiere party. You won't connect to this because you don't watch Big Brother, right?
No, I didn't.
So, Gina Marie Zimmerman, who I don't know if you heard about all the controversy last season, she was the runner-up and she also got promptly fired after she left the house for her, racist slash homophobic remarks in the house. She is now dating JG from the Real World Explosion.
Wow.
So now I think we see where all the CBS MTV overlap has come this season.
Where do all these people meet? Are there like reality TV functions that they all get together at, or is it just happenstance that they meet at like a New York City bar?
It's quote unquote charity events and appearances.
Oh, of course, when they're earning their off-season money.
Yeah, I don't know how they met. I'd be interested in seeing Jay on a challenge. But yeah, no, so Gina Marie and JG, good luck to them. I wonder who lasts longer, them or Laurel and Jordan or Kahuta and Nani.
I would say Kahada and Nani might be in this for the long term. I think they. I'm gonna go on a limb. Prediction. I say they get married.
Oh,
Whoa,
you
here we.
heard it
I
here
th
first.
yeah. I think they're the new CT and DM, even though CT and DM didn't actually get
That's
married. But
a curse. You just
I know.
that's
Career.
terrible. They're the new Tori and Brad.
There we go. Tori and
Hopefully
Brad.
they're
That's a
not.
better example.
Hopefully they're not Melinda and Danny.
Oh boy, that would be a problem. That would be sad. But yeah, so I actually have a little bit. Not really news, it's more like rumors, I guess you would say.
Gossip.
So, as I mentioned, the very strong rumor is that the next season will be X's 2. And I think, calls are going out now, and I think filming is going to start in about a month, so we should be hearing more about who's going to be on it. But some of the rumors, strong rumors that are going to be on it are Teresa and Leroy together, Zach and Janae, Knight and Jemmy. And as mentioned, Dustin and Jessica. Those are four of the teams that I've so far heard will be on next season. And I could be totally wrong, but that's what I've heard so far.
So now we know why Jessica was at the reunion to talk about her and Dustin.
Yes.
Give that little sob story. He called me back.
I love Bananas put his arm on
Yeah.
Jessica's shoulder to comfort her. Bananas is so good. He knows how to handle these situations perfectly and make them entertaining. God, he but I people always say like they want to see the new cast and they're tired of Bananas and CT. This show will be missing a lot. The sad day when Bananas hangs it up.
Just first reactions to those cast rumors. I would say I'm not that excited to see Zach and Jenna. I was so upset when they broke up, and then the next challenge they did together, I wanted them to like really have it out. But Zach is like happily with his girlfriend from another season of The Real World, and I kind of just think that that will be no real drama. And then Knight and Jemmy. I loved New Orleans. I loved Real World New Orleans. I loved their relationship. I loved their drama after, but we've seen it. We've seen it. So I hope they can bring something new to the table. I mean, casting obviously casts these people for a reason. But not to be a Debbie Downer, first reactions, not jumping out of my seat.
Yeah, and I mean, there'll be a couple of at least a couple of the explosion people. I've heard rumors from every conceivable pair from those 11. And this is a very, 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 very unsubstantiated rumor that is probably a little even bad of me to even mention. But apparently, I've read a little bit on Twitter that Jamie and Tom may have broken up. Just around the time of the casting calls going out for X's, so
Ooh.
little interesting gossip there. I don't know if that's true. I may end up getting sued for saying something like
Listen,
that. I don't know.
we're not hard-hitting journalists,
No, I am not
okay?
on
We're wrap-up
CNN.
podcasters. Let's just lay it all out. And if we're wrong, let us
Yeah,
know.
I mean, I hope. I mean, if I'm wrong, wrong. I wasn't a big fan of Jamie, so I wouldn't be too upset if they really are broken up. But here and there.
I'd be upset
That's
because
very
then they're
true.
back on the
I'm
challenge.
praying that some combination of Ryan, Jenny, and Corey get on the season. Those three were made for the show.
Brian is
I'd
bread
be
and
perfectly
rice. Let
fine.
me see Corey in the
I think
pan.
Corey could show up there and become the new CT, just running things and being because thinking of CT for a second, it's amazing we've gone through this. I think it
Ooh.
might be over an hour. And how many times have we even mentioned CT? And that's not
I
many, and
mean,
it's
about as many times
yeah,
as he was
it's
mentioned on the reunion.
people have been talking about is the
So
Bananas
zero.
era over, and the answer is obviously no with him still winning. But is the CT era over? I mean, yes, he's still a good competitor, but will we ever see that same I'm gonna smash your head and eat it type of guy? Is that guy done?
I mean, there's the two CTs I love. I mean, the insane CT, which how many more, I guess, can they play the Bananas backpack clip? And then there's the sweet DM CT. And we're not getting either of those back, I don't think. So I don't think CT is planning on falling in love challenge anytime soon again. I'm hopeful that maybe him shaving his beard was like going to be a dawn of a new CT, but it pains me to say it. I might agree with
It's
you.
a little sad. CT was the biggest name from one of the biggest names from the show. He's caused a lot of the drama, and now he's kind of just like the old man. He's taking like Kar under her wing, under his wing, and being comforting and trying to like solve problems as opposed to starting them. And I don't know if the challenge can handle that. We need someone new, and that's why Corey needs to be on the season, because I can see him going crazy.
I think that CT needs one more chance. I don't think I watched the show and said, why is CT there? I definitely enjoyed the moments. There were some good Laurel quotes that he had that I thought were funny. So I don't think he's done yet, but I can get on board with the decline.
I mean, they'll be wrong. I mean, CT's just, you know, him reading out of the phone book is more interesting than half the people they have. So I don't want to see CT go anywhere, but just the CT aura is dimmed, and it's a little sad.
Because I can't end on this CT damaging note, because it pains me. It pains the, you know, the middle schooler or whatever who watched Real World Paris. But Edward Morris, let's wrap it up with him. As before Laurel won, was she the best man or woman who has never won a challenge? If not, or if so, who is and who is now?
She probably was the best female, at least, to never win. Like, all the top females have pretty much won at this point. So I would say yes. Now, I guess who's left who hasn't won?
I was thinking maybe Anissa?
Yeah, and I don't think she ever will win at this point. I don't see that happening.
Yeah. She's passed her prime.
Yeah, I mean, like, Emily got her first title last year. I mean, Zach won in Battle of the Seasons. Frank won. I mean, can you put someone like Jordan and Johnny up there already?
I'm not going to stop you.
Yeah.
this is your podcast. Go for it. You say what you want.
Our podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't mean it like that.
Yeah.
This is my podcast, and I'm telling you, you can say whatever you want.
There we go. Yeah, I mean, I think that's really, I mean, I guess Dustin and Leroy are pretty good at having one, and Nani and Teresa, I guess.
I mean, now you're just listing everyone on the team.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, if there's anyone, I'm trying to list the name and see if someone stands out, and I don't think there's anyone that's like, wow, they really deserve to win at this point.
I agree. I think Laurel was the last person who's overdue. But, you know what, if we're wrong, where can they reach you?
Yeah, they can that's a hell of a segue. They can reach me at Bus Drivers Route.
And you can please... deliver all corrections and omissions to me at Lash Tweets.
Yeah.
Seriously, I mean that sincerely.
Sincerously. we're making up words here on the Child's Free Agent Wrap-Up.
It's strategical.
Yeah, so, there was a word that Devin used earlier in the season that I really didn't think was a word, but it turned out it was. It was like integrous or something like that. And it turned out that was a word, so maybe that is a word. But what do I know? They're making up words every day. Yeah, so, and then perfect. We'll be... So we were still kind of discussing what to do during the long layoff until the next Real World that I'm pretty sure we'll be covering, right?
I mean, I'm here.
I think if it's up to us, we'll be covering either through Rob has a website, or maybe we'll just like pop up in your homes and just talk about it. But yeah. So, but until Real World, we're discussing maybe we'll rewatch the challenge or do, you know, best male competitors, female competitors, all that fun stuff. So we're still discussing. So there might be some goodies popping up along the way. And so you don't miss out on those goodies, subscribe to the Challenge Free Agents Wrap-Up. You can go to robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes and subscribe. So whenever a podcast pops up, you'll treat it like a little Christmas gift in the summer.
Subscribe so you can hear Brian talk more like a 45-year-old mother of four. Some goodies popping up.
Hey, look at the word goodie. I think that's underused in today's society. I'm bringing goodie back.
It's like Sierra and the 45-year-old mom, soccer mom. So
I'm bringing Goody and Fetch back to today's society, so watch out.
Perfect. Can't wait to hear more.
All right, so I'm going to give it a hashtag. Like, Robbos, if you made it to the end of this, congratulations, because this has been our longest one.
Hashtag goodies?
If you made it to the end of this, shoot us a tweet, hashtag goodies, and maybe we'll send you a goodie. I don't know. A goodie of like a follow or something.
I will not be sending anything.
No goodies from Allie. You'll get a goodie from me, so now no one will tweet. So now we're screwed. Yeah, so thank you guys for listening all season, and thank you for asking your questions. You're definitely much more informed than Johnny Mosley, so good for you. you guys are much more qualified to host the reunion, so you got that going for you. And until next time, whenever that is, Allie, have a good week, have a good month, have a good couple months, I don't know. We'll have to see. And to everyone out there, see you later.
Same to you.